Hello, and welcome to the Bookish Banter podcast, where we'll be sharing our opinions about our favorite books, authors, and bookish impulse buys. Follow along on our journey to finishing and sharing our endless TBR. Go ahead and subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on our Instagram and TikTok at the Bookish Banter podcast. Let's get started.
I think it's fair to say you guys know I love coffee. I cannot get through the day without it, and somehow I've become the person who exclusively drinks Fable Grounds coffee. Every time I go on vacation, I think I should seriously bring some with me because nothing tastes like it. It's roasted in small batches in Maryland, and it's every book lover's dream. Fable Grounds has fandoms like Lord of the Rings, Six of Crows, and even some of our favorite Greek gods. The bag sizes range from 2 ounces all the way up to 12, so you can try a few different flavors before you find your perfect one. She also has gorgeous stoneware mugs that I use quite literally every single day. There is nothing like drinking coffee out of a stoneware mug. It is an experience, I'll say that. So check out Fable Grounds Coffee and use my code LLAMA10 to save on your next purchase. Hello, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. I have a special guest on today. If you want to introduce yourself and say hello.
Sure. My name is Kate Cunningham. I am the author of The Blood Kingdom.
I'm so excited to have you on. I'm so excited to chat about this one. I feel like I haven't read like a fantasy book in a really long time. I've been like fully in my romance era. So I was very ready to get back into this because now I'm like three fantasy books deep.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So we start off all of our episodes with a series of icebreaker questions. And the first question I have for you is, what is your favorite standalone?
So I chose Bride. I probably am not the first person to say that. That was just the first one that came to mind because I read it pretty recently, as everyone did. So yeah, definitely the first one that came to mind because I feel like I read a lot of series. So it's actually kind of hard to come up with a standalone.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely is really hard. And I feel like they were more popular a little while ago. And now everything is like an interconnected standalone in a series. And so, yes. Yeah, definitely. Actually, you are the first one to say Bride, but not the first one to say an Allie Hazelwood book. So I like that.
Okay. All right. I loved it. I thought for me, it was the perfect quick read. And I thought she did a great job of keeping it concise, still keeping it to, I would say, what she typically writes.
Yeah,
but just like the perfect dose of world building to like draw you in just a little bit with the fantasy elements. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I agree. I love an urban fantasy too. So I was like very ready for this. I'm like, I'm fully invested and I agree. I think she did a really good job like keeping it concise, but also like not making it too heavy and still having that like fantasy element for sure.
I thought it was great. I loved it. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So second question is, what is your favorite series?
This one is so hard for me. I have so many favorites. Again, I'm going to stick with most recent favorite, and that is what I'm currently reading, which is Empire of the Vampire by Jay Kristoff.
Great choice.
Oh, so good. Such a departure from what I typically read, but in the best way. And man, I'm totally immersed. I'm totally hooked. And now I need to go back in his like catalog and just read everything.
Yeah. Did you finish Empire of the Damned?
I'm working my way through it right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't spoil anything for me.
I will. I definitely will. I definitely will. I am like a massive Jay Kristoff fan. I know he's not like the most popular, but I absolutely adore him. And like, I think he's so funny. And like, his books are hilarious. And like, that one is so dark, but it's also like really funny at points. And you're like, I shouldn't be laughing, but here I am.
But I think that's why it's so masterful is that he has these moments. He has moments of levity throughout the entire book. And it's so dark and gruesome and gritty. Mm-hmm. But it's the perfect balance where you have those elements, but then you also have all this levity and the banter, the dialogue. Yeah. It's just like, I'm here for it. I was reading some reviews on some of his books. Mm-hmm. People are clearly polarized about him, but I love his books. I think his writing style is fantastic.
Yeah. I think he's just very Australian. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. I did the audiobook for it. And he does an interview at the end with Joseph Morgan, who plays Klaus in the originals and Vampires. And I was like, I was so invested. I was like, I'm so ready for this interview to like hear them talk about it. And they're just like so cute together. And I was like, I could die right now. So, okay. Next question is, who's your ultimate book boyfriend?
It's Gabriel for sure.
Great choice.
Yeah.
Great
De Leon. Yeah. I love an anti-hero. I'm here for it. Like when people say morally gray, that's what it is. It's not arguably most of the morally gray characters that are marketed, they're not really morally gray, but Gabriel De Leon is absolutely morally gray. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, not to spoil the book for anyone, but he shoots somebody in the back, or he like stabs someone in the back so that he can get a pack of Wretched off of him. It's like the best. So
he's like, doesn't anyway, that care.
I'm living for it. I'm like totally invested. I'm like in love with this character. So
yeah, I think he does a great job. He would be a great, he would be a great one to have on your side for sure.
Yes.
So who is your ultimate book girlfriend?
I would have to argue probably any of the female characters written by Leigh Bardugo. Alex Stern is definitely up there. I love Inej too. She's a favorite. I love Six of Crows. That's such a great duology. But Leigh Bardugo just writes such great female characters. Really any of her characters. Book girlfriends for sure.
Fully agree. I think she does a really great job of like making them all very unique and like giving them their own personality, but also making them so cool and like, I love them for sure.
Yes.
That's a great one. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started in your writing journey, all of that stuff?
Sure. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I am a military spouse. So we move around a lot, which has meant a lot of career changes for me over the last decade that I've been married to my husband. So yeah, I think the big transition for me was becoming a stay-at-home mom. That was a really big jolt to my system because I'm so used to being very career-driven, and life really slowed down in the best of ways. But it was definitely a moment to kind of take a step back and think, oh, what do I want to do to serve myself in my small amount of free time that I have? And it started off as reading. I just became a voracious reader again. I was always a voracious reader as a kid, but finally got back into it because going through college, it was reading for schoolwork or too busy to really pick anything up that was fun to read. So it was an excuse. You know, I was nap trapped all the time. So it was an excuse to get really into reading again, which was great. Yeah. But I kind of got into a pattern where I was picking books up that were really hyped, or I was picking up books that I thought I would love, and they were falling flat for me. And I was reading so often that it was just kind of a natural progression into, why don't I try writing something that I would want to read? And that's really where it came from.
That's wild. I mean, I feel like it's so cool to feel like you read these books and you're like, oh, I definitely have an idea. I would never, because I have no thoughts in my brain. But I love that, like, you know, you weren't always like, oh, I want to be a writer from like day one. I think it's cool to kind of see that progress and like people to kind of come into it later in life.
Oh, yeah. No, if there's any encouragement that I can offer to people, anybody who's an aspiring writer or just even thinking about dabbling in it, this was not a lifelong dream. It wasn't. This was purely born out of like, what is the personal challenge that I can set out for myself that's going to feel fulfilling? And just truly finding time to write for myself and finding that spark of creativity when my son was napping and after bedtime. And it really did start off as just an exercise of, this is really fun. This is really challenging. This is really fulfilling for me to do this. And I got to a point in it where I was like, wow, this is actually a story. This is becoming a book. And I think I'd gotten to 50,000 or 60,000 words. And I finally turned to my husband and I was like, well, shit, I think I need to make this a book. I think this is an actual book.
Yeah.
And thankfully I had so many encouraging friends. My husband is extremely encouraging. And I also have a mentor who is, at this point, she's a self-publishing veteran. So she took me under her wing and she's like, girl, you can do this. This is so easy. Like, I'll show you the ropes. If you want to put a book out, we can do it. But yeah, all that to be said, I mean, this was not a lifelong goal. I was not writing creatively. I think I've always been writing stories in my head. I've always had a vivid imagination. But as far as creative writing, that was not something that I picked up until very recently. I wrote a lot for school, but that was boring stuff. So yeah. So if it's any encouragement, I mean, there's no time when you should or should not start to follow your passion for writing.
No, I love that. That's awesome. Can you give us kind of a spoiler-free overview of The Blood Kingdom and follow up to that? Is this going to be a series, and how many books will be in the series if it is?
Sure. So I think the bird's eye view would be, it is a plot forward epic fantasy romance. The romance is definitely a subplot in book one. It is a slow burn. So I think people should go into it knowing this is not real spicy fantasy for book one. The series will get spicier as we go because it is an adult fantasy. And so these characters are adults. It's going to be a natural progression of that. It's not closed door romance, and it won't be fade to black. But that being said, book one is not spicy itself. I think the story that's in there is a woman who feels trapped in her own life, and she's not childish about it. She knows her duty to her family, and she's prepared to follow through with it. Mm-hmm. But she kind of sees what her future is going to look like, and it's not great. And she ends up falling into this world that's completely unknown, where she has a chance to decide who she's going to be, who she wants to be.
I love that. What made you decide to write them as, you know, kind of, I always hate the term like young adult, because I feel like at 25 is a young adult, but what made you decide to kind of write it in that, you know, new adult like genre?
Yeah, because I was reading so many books that were YA that had fantastic plots, just incredible action-packed plots. Leigh Bardugo's books come to mind, definitely. And Cassandra Clare is another one. I was such a huge fan of hers, like, you know, back in the day. But I think for me, I wanted something that was geared towards myself. I am 33 years old. I wanted to read about somebody who is an adult, and I wanted to read about adult relationships, but still not miss out on those great fantasy elements that I love, that are so well done in a lot of YA books, but kind of merge those two things together. And there are plenty of authors that are doing that now, but I do think that I still feel very much that YA does a great job of the fantasy plot. And I think that there's still a gap in new adult fantasy where maybe some of the plot sacrificed for the romance element.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I want the new adult genre to like actually take off and not just be like fiction or what have you, like in the bookstore, because I feel like there is such a market for it. And like, there are a ton of us who are in that like 25 to 35 who are like looking to read fantasy books that are not written about 16-year-olds. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. And we like want that. And I was so excited to go into this one, because I was like, oh, she's 25. Like, you know, it's a good age. And I was just thinking of that sound from TikTok or like Pride and Prejudice, where she's like, I'm 27 years old. And I was like, yeah, this is like, that was like a really good way to describe it. And like, you know, you kind of have all these characters who are like in the middle of figuring out what like real life looks like past, you know, being under their parents' thumb, or like going from, you know, living under their parents' roof to being married off and all those sorts of things, which we have in this like fantasy element world. But I think it's so much more realistic when they're 25 and not, you know, 16, 17, and they have to be like married off to some 45-year-old, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to come off as disparaging of YA, because I do love YA, but there is just an element where it's like, I don't want to read about another 17-year-old who saves the world.
Correct. You know? Yeah. Like, so I want someone my age. I want to like, you know, yes. I think it's, there's an element too in these, especially, you know, when they're written by people who are this age, that write about like the maturity and like the things that they've gone through in life and stuff like that. And it seems to me more realistic that like a 27-year-old would save the world versus like a 17-year-old, because they've been through, you know, they know how to drive. I don't know.
We've seen a few more things, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. And I hope that the gap does start to bridge. And I think it will in the next few years, as people kind of keep pushing forward with the fantasy and having, you know, those characters be a little older, for sure.
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah. So what inspired you to write this story? Or like, where did you get the idea for your story?
Music, mostly, I think. And also, I mean, reading authors that I loved, I was like, wow, how do they craft these characters that I love so much? Because there are, we all have characters that we just fall in love with, or a certain dynamic between characters that we fall in love with, or the writing style where you just totally envision, you just are wrapped up in the world. And that was so engaging to me. And it truly was a challenge to say like, well, how would I create a world that's really vivid, or characters that are really vivid, or I don't know. So it started off as just a challenge that was really fun. And then it turned into this, I mean, it turned into characters that I totally fell in love with, and they were just extensions of myself, but definitely music. I think that's probably the heaviest inspiration that I have. I'm constantly listening to music, and the weekend that I decided I'm going to start writing, don't know what it's going to be, but I just have a scene in my head that I just want to write between these two characters, and I just need to get it out. I was actually taking a girls' trip, and it was a 6-hour road trip to our destination. And so I had the car to myself, which is, it's a rare thing when you're a mom of a toddler to not have anyone talking to you in the backseat. So I had the car to myself. I was like just rocking. I mean, I had the music blaring, and I could listen to whatever I wanted to. So I was just blasting music. And I mean, AFI songs. I mean, how old are you, Tatiana?
30.
Okay, so you get it. So AFI, I had like an AFI playlist. I had all these playlists going, but yeah, songs have been such an inspiration to me in music, and so many scenes have been written and just kind of like created just from listening to a song on repeat, no joke, for sometimes weeks. So.
Yeah. Listen, we love a hyperfixation, you know, like that's, you got to do what you got to do.
I'm a hyperfixation queen.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had someone else say that too, that they were like, I listened to an album and I was like, this is what's going to like inspire me to create this. And I think that's so like such a unique way of kind of going about it. And it's like, it gives you that like sound memory where you're like, okay, yes. Now I know exactly what I want to do from here. And like, you'll always remember that specific song that, you know, kind of created this world.
100%.
Yeah, I love that. So you said a lot of these characters are like extensions of yourself. Is there a character that you relate to the most or you feel like is most like you?
Well, I mean, definitely the main character. I think there's plenty about that's relatable about her. And also, I love Neera. I have a soft spot for Neera. When my mom finally read the book, she was one of the final people to read the book before it was released. Mm-hmm. She was like, I don't know how I feel about Neera. I don't think I like her. And I was like, you don't, but she's great. I just love badass, takes no shit kind of woman. And I'd like to think there's something of that in me. She's just like the cooler version.
Yeah. She's like the version we all want to be. Yes.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, I would love to be effortlessly scary and cool simultaneously.
Aspirations, you know, yeah. But
life goals for sure. 100%.
Yes.
I love that. So are there any underlying messages or themes in your book that you hope your readers kind of take away from this?
Yeah, I hope it's empowerment. I think that was one of the biggest things that I wanted this book to really be about as far as following Aurelia's journey is watching her growth. Like I wanted us to meet her exactly as she was at the beginning. And I want the person that you meet at the end of book one to be a completely different person.
Yeah.
And same with as I'm moving through book two. And you did ask me if this is going to be a series. I'm currently working on book two. I do hope to have it out by the end of the year. And there will be a third book.
Nice.
Okay. So I wanted a story because I love a story with development, character growth, where someone underestimates themselves and they realize what they're really capable of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it's really fun to kind of go on that journey with them because you're doing it in like real time. So then when you get to the end, you're like, wow, this person's totally different. And it's fun when you go back and reread and you're like, oh, wow, she was like so naive and just like a sweet summer child. And, you know, you kind of know what's going to happen. And I feel like those ones with the good character development are the ones that are the best to go and reread and make you like want to read them again, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for that because I think there's something just in me that it makes me relate to a character so much more when I see, oh, they're starting at a place where I feel like I would start from. And, you know, they're not some super jock. They're not, you know, super powerful at the beginning or whatever the case is. And you kind of get to see them develop that through hardship.
Yeah. And she's like, I love her as a character because she is, you know, what I feel like a lot of like modern women would think they were if they were set in, you know, sort of a fantasy world where it's like, we're not allowed to learn and, you know, we're not allowed to fight and do those things. But like she had brothers. So she's like, of course, I know some things. And of course, I wanted to be like them and that sort of thing. But it's not so unrealistic, like you said, where, you know, we wake up and she was like the queen of the world and was like so strong and powerful and great before we even started.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely makes her much more relatable for sure. So you put your characters through quite a bit in this book emotionally.
Yes.
Was there a part of this that was hard to write or any parts of it like you kind of struggled, you know, putting them through that?
Yeah. So to be completely candid, it was really difficult for me to write Bastion's character. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but yeah, there were characters that were really difficult to write and make them lovable. I'll leave it at that. I don't want to spoil too much more for people. But yeah, I'm trying to think the scenes where, oh man, no, everything's going to be a spoiler.
Fair.
Yeah, everything's gonna be a spoiler if I talk too much about it. There were scenes that were difficult to write for sure. Yeah, for me, when she leaves, yeah, from that point forward it was real hard.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Very valid.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, you know, even at the beginning she's like, you know, she's really going through a lot, like emotionally, like trying to accept, not again, not to spoil too much, but you don't know, you know, she has a duty to her family and
right.
she's supposed to get married off. And that's kind of like the jumpstart of this whole thing. And it's like, she has to go through a lot emotionally to like prepare herself for that. And, you know, she's still grieving things that have happened in her life previously and like who she was before and all this stuff. And so I was like, man, she's really going through it.
She's going through it. Girl's going through it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's fair. It's good to know that you have a heart and that it was hard for you. Some people are like, no, it was okay. I'm fine. I'm like, all right, that's great. I'm happy for you.
I think there was an element of, again, I'm going to try really hard to keep this spoiler free. There was an element of, I knew where it was going the whole time. So it was almost like it was trickier to make it feel a little bit more gut wrenching, that whole process. And to, it was trickier to go back and kind of make sure that the emotions were vivid because I knew where she was headed and I was excited to take her there. And so it was almost trickier. Yeah.
Okay. So are you a plotter then? Did you plot this one out or are you a pantser?
I'm whatever the in-between is.
Okay.
A plantster, whatever that is.
The idea of.
So really pivotal scenes tend to come to me first.
Okay.
Or actually sometimes they're not even that pivotal, but there will be scenes that will come to me first completely out of order. But when those bits of dialogue or when those scenes come to me, I just have to write them down, just like word vomit, just get them out. And from that point, I'll kind of have a general idea of like, okay, so this is going to happen somewhere in the beginning. This obviously must happen way further down the line when we've developed characters and everything else. So there's a lot of filler in between. So I do loosely plot just to kind of keep in mind where the characters are headed, where the dialogue needs to be headed. Although, as I'm sure any author will tell you, sometimes the characters just take over and the plot goes out the window or whatever you had planned goes out the window. So I do follow that to a certain extent. And especially with book one, was very challenging. Very first book, I was figuring out my voice. I was figuring out how I wanted to write, what my writing style was. I was pulling from some of my favorite authors and figuring out like, well, does that feel natural in my own voice? Does that feel natural in my own head? Like seeing, how do they make these characters so deep? How do they do these things? But at the end of the day, it all comes down to what your voice comes out on paper. So there was a lot of time spent doing that. So that being said, the plotting kind of went out the window with book one, because I had it very loosely plotted, sort of, but I was just going along. I was just going with the flow with writing, because again, when I started this, I did not think it was a book. I was just writing for fun and to see where the story went. And it wasn't until way later that I had to do some heavy edits to realize like, okay, I need to tie up some plot holes and tighten things up, et cetera.
Totally fair. It's a learning process, especially for your first one.
Steep learning curve.
Yeah. Totally valid. So what kind of drew you to the fantasy genre in the first place?
Oh, I almost exclusively read fantasy. I do love rom-coms and contemporary romance on occasion, but I have always been a fantasy girl through and through from day one. Even as a kid, love fantasy. I just have a really vivid imagination. So there was really no question when I decided that I wanted to write something, there was no question what I was going to write.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. Would you ever consider writing in a different genre, or are you going to kind of stick to fantasy?
If I did, I think it would probably be romance maybe, but I don't know. I think fantasy is my genre and I think that's what I'm going to stick to.
Totally fair. Totally fair. Yeah. I'm always curious, you know, it's like, is there like a thriller random book just like hanging out in the back of your head that you're like, I have to write this? So,
I mean, I definitely have, I'm not going to lie, after, especially working my way through book two, I just finished, I finished up my first draft of book two, like a month and a half ago. So I've been working through some really heavy edits and in the process of just world building and reminding myself of all of the threads that I had in book one that I need to continue. Girl, I'll tell you, it's tempting to write just a fluffy, just like, don't think about it romance.
Yeah.
It's very tempting.
Nice cozy.
Not to
fantasy.
Say, I'm sure those are equally challenging, but in my head, I'm like, well, I wouldn't have to world build. So
right.
Easy. Love it. Make it like 150 pages. Great.
Right. Yeah. Listen, that would be a nice cozy fantasy, you know?
Yes.
No world building. So how did you go about kind of creating your magic system, or where'd you get your inspiration for that?
That I kept pretty basic. I think what my inspiration was is I knew that I wanted to write a vampire book. That I just knew that. I am such a sucker for vampire stories. And so knew that I wanted to work in vampire lore, but it really started with how can I get an original spin? Because we've all read vampire stories and they don't even have to be that original to still suck me in.
Yeah.
But I was just like, okay, what if there was a vampire story, but vampires were a part of a bigger ecosystem, a bigger world out there? And what kind of magic would they possess? What kind of magic would their counterparts have? And kind of and that's really where it spawned from.
Yeah, I love that. Cause I was like, oh, we get vampires. And then as soon as we, you know, kind of get these other, again, not to spoil a ton, but, you know, kind of get these other magical elements in there, I was like, this is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to add that mix in there too. Like, cause like you said, you get a lot of these vampire books and it becomes very predictable. And it's like, I don't know if everyone's like in their vampire era unless there's something different about it. Like, you know, with
Yeah.
Empire of the Damned and all of those sorts of things. Like, I know Shelby Mahern just released her vampire book, and it's like having those that have like a little bit of a spin on them really,
Yes.
I think, brings us back, and it's like nostalgic enough, but then you're like, okay, this is like the fantasy I'm hoping for.
Yeah, and hey, I love just a classic vampire story. I think there is something super, there's something when you go into a story about vampires or whatever it is, there are certain elements that you're going to expect.
Yeah,
Right.
absolutely.
So I didn't want to throw everything out, but I thought, well, what if I keep some of the original vampire lore? Let's keep that, but let's twist it just a little bit. Let's, you know, evolve just a little bit. Let's
Yeah.
add, what if they had blood magic? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I loved that. I was like, ooh, this is fun. So what has your publishing journey been like so far for you as like a debut author in the age of the bookish interwebs?
It's been honestly overall very positive and a really good experience so far. Pretty smooth as far as publishing went. I've obviously learned a lot of things now that I'm getting ready to publish book two. Yeah, Bookstagram was very new territory for me when I started my author Instagram, but here we are. And I mean, hey, I found my readers. So that's,
Yeah.
yeah, it's been hugely beneficial.
I love that. I'm so glad. It's always like nice to hear that, you know, authors are having a good time in the community. I feel like this is such a wild experience as like readers to kind of, you know, have be able to connect online in such a like an intimate way that we were never able to before. And it's
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
cool. Yeah. It's so cool to like see your guys' journey and like get to kind of share in that with you that like honestly we never would have without social media. So
Oh, it's incredible. I don't think that this would have been possible for me to do this 10 years ago.
right. Yeah.
So it really is incredible. I mean, when I set out and when I made the decision to publish this book, which truly was about maybe 4 months before I actually published it, because it was finally finished. And I was like, okay, yeah, I think I want to put this out. I told my husband, if 8 people who don't know me read this book, I will consider it a success. That would be incredible. And I can't believe how many people this book has reached purely through social media. It's really incredible. I mean, and some of the people who found me when I didn't even intend to be found, truthfully, I just had set up my author Instagram and just kind of trying to figure out the Bookstagram side of things and get my feet wet with that. But people started following me and took a chance on me as a debut author. They didn't know my work. They didn't know if it was trash or not. And they read my book, promoted my book. I mean, just, I can't, yeah, I'm so grateful to the community that has helped get my book out there.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so great to hear. So let's talk a little bit about the writing process and all of that. Is there a favorite type of scene you like to write?
I love writing action scenes. Those are great. I think because there's not a whole lot of thinking involved. I think it's just a lot of feeling, and I love pulling from the emotion that happens in these high emotion action scenes. I think those are so great. So I do love writing those. I think, yeah, but it's hard to say though, because sometimes the scenes that come to me are sometimes they're really quiet scenes. They're glimpses between two characters that are just really intimate and there's not a ton of dialogue, but it's very emotionally charged. And sometimes those are the ones that pop into my head the fastest. But yeah, really, I don't know, any scene, honestly.
Totally fair. I feel like people have a really hard time with action scenes because they're like, I have to, you know, make sure this arm is in the right place and like that leg is here and like, you know, whatever's happening is like happening logistically. So
Yeah.
it's kind of funny to hear that you like to write the action scenes.
I do. I really do. Yeah. I've wrapped up writing a handful. And I will say, when I write them initially, they sound like in my head, I'm just like getting it out into the ether. And then when I come back to read through and edit, I'm like, man, this is just falling flat. This is, it's those situations where it's like, wait, he was just over here. How did he come over? And so there's a lot of tweaking. There's a lot of fixing that has to happen. But I really, when the action scenes hit that rhythm and they hit the beat, oh man. And like when the payoff is there, there's nothing like it.
Totally fair. I love reading them. So I love that you like to write them.
Yes.
So is there a type of scene that you struggle to write?
Oh, the filler scenes for sure. And for me, filler scenes aren't even the scenes where it's low energy. Cause like I don't even want to say low energy, but I love cozy scenes. Mm-hmm. I love working in cozy scenes where we get a glimpse of a character in a more vulnerable state, or maybe they're, you know, it's not action packed. It's not super high tension. I do love writing those, but I think for me, like I said, these big pivotal scenes will come to me, but then it's figuring out how I get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And sometimes that takes a long time, because sometimes the path from point A to point B starts off real boring and way too long. And it's like, okay, I got to make this more interesting somehow. I have to make this more exciting or more unexpected. Mm-hmm. And so those are definitely the trickier ones, what I would consider filler scenes.
Yeah, totally fair. That makes sense too, because I feel like you said, it's kind of hard to go from point A to point B and be like, how do we build our characters, give people a glimpse into life, but also at the same time, like not make it too boring, fix the pacing, like do all those things. So yeah, it's a lot to think about. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So what made you decide to write in the third person point of view?
That was truly just how the characters came out. That was how I initially started writing the story, and I couldn't even tell you why. And then in the middle, I was like, okay, I wonder if this would feel different if I wrote in first person.
Yeah.
So I went through and I switched to first person just to see if the characters felt a little bit better, or if the emotions came through a little bit clearer. And I went right back to third person because it just felt more true to the story and more true to the characters. And I can't really tell you why. I know for a preference, I mean, no, there are books that I love that are first person.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy reading third person. And maybe that's just how my brain's wired.
Totally fair. I think for fantasy, though, it makes it so different. Like, I agree with you. Like, I love a good first person. But I think for fantasy, when you get that third person, you're kind of getting, like, those tidbits of other people, essentially, than, like, your main character. And that gives you, as an author, like, a little bit more grace. And I think it makes it easier to, like, explain things. And you're not having, like, presumed opinions, because you're not like, oh, this is just from this, like, character's point of view. It's like, no, it's everybody's. And I'm, like, watching from afar. And I feel like that makes it a little easier to understand things.
Yes. No, I would agree. And I think that's a really good point. That's totally true. And when I came into this book, I didn't know how many scenes would be the male main character's point of view, but I knew that I wanted his perspective.
Yeah.
Because there are just some scenes that I cannot write from the female main character's point of view. I need to have his point of view and his perspective to add in those world building elements. And that continues on through book two as well. And so I think that was definitely part of the reason I decided to stick with third person. And I could have gone first person for her POV and then switched to third person for his, but it felt a little bit clunkier. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let's just keep it simple, third person the whole way through.
Nice. Are you going to keep that throughout the whole series?
I will.
Nice. Okay. I love that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think it kind of helps with the world building, and you can like add in these other characters into scenes and not have to be like, this is what they said. It's like, no, this is just what's happening. So yeah. Totally fair. So did you have fan casts for any of your characters, like as you were writing them?
As I was writing, I mean, Henry Cavill for every male main character, right?
Isn't that everyone?
Everyone. So I think that's just a blanket statement just from here on out. It's whoever it is that I'm reading about, whether it's I'm writing about my own characters or not, it's always him. But I had a thought. I was like, because my husband and I have talked about that. And he's like, okay, if you have like to cast, who would it be?
Yeah.
And I would love Daisy Ridley. I think she would make a great Aurelia, because I want somebody who's a little gritty. Like, can't be too polished, can't be too, you know,
yeah,
perfect. So I was like, yeah, I think she would be a good pick.
That is a great choice. She's like poised enough too that you would like believe she's a princess, but at the same time, you're like, okay, we get it. We really do. That is a good choice. Oh, I like that. Okay. So, did you have any specific goals in mind? I know you said, you just kind of wrote this, for yourself, but as you were writing it and you decided you wanted to publish it, like, did you have any goals in mind? Word count, tropes you wanted to include, anything like that?
No, I didn't have any specific tropes that I needed to include. I just wrote what I enjoy reading. And so some of those tropes definitely came out, but it wasn't a goal to include them necessarily. And as far as word count, I Googled what is a typical fantasy book, and
Nice.
I shot for that, overshot it a little bit, but
That's okay.
yeah.
Did you have
That's
any like,
truthfully what it was. I mean, I'm telling you, as a first-time author, I was like,
yeah.
what, how long are these books supposed to be?
You're like 800 pages. That'll do, right? So, did you have any like daily writing goals and things like that as you kind of got further into it, or were you just like going for it?
No, and even now, I do not have daily writing goals or word count goals, but I did find, and I have found through the course of this, that even the days when I'm not motivated, when I do not feel inspired to write, it's really important for continuity in the story and the flow of the characters, their emotions, keeping in touch with that, that I write consistently at least once a day. I just have to touch it. It doesn't
Okay.
mean that my word count needs to go up. Sometimes that means just rereading a scene that's been sticking for me and figuring out, can I change a sentence structure here? Can I change a bit of dialogue to make it feel a little bit better? Or sometimes it's just rereading it to keep it fresh in my head. And so my goal is truthfully just to touch it once a day, just to kind of keep that connection going. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do see on social media authors setting word count goals per day for themselves, which is absolutely incredible. But if I had done that, I think I would have felt very defeated very early on, because there are plenty of days, even now, well into book two, where my word count goes down because I'm removing passages that I don't feel fit the story, or I'm deleting stuff because I know I just need a major rewrite to make it fresh. Yeah, don't be, I don't know, if there's any authors out there listening, don't be too hung up on word count or how many words you're getting per day, because especially when you get into the editing process, it's slow, that the word count doesn't move a whole lot. So yeah, but no, I think just putting eyes on it every single day and just keeping in touch with my story in some capacity every single day, even when I don't feel motivated, even when I don't feel inspired,
Yeah.
just making it a habit and being consistent with it.
I love that. I think that's so cool too that you're like able to work through that and, like you said, not put pressure on yourself with the word count, but like being in the story every day. And it's like, even if you're just going back and rereading those scenes, you're kind of like, now I really have a grasp on this. So when you go into edits, you're like, I know that this isn't the first time I'm relooking at this. And like,
Exactly.
yeah, it definitely feels more like, I don't know, in tune as you go through it for sure.
Yes, and I think so many people think that it's going to be this giant spark of inspiration every time you sit down to write, and that just isn't the case. There are days when that definitely happens, and there are days where I will sit for hours after my son is in bed and just furiously be writing. I mean, with coming up with my first draft of book two, I wrote 20,000 words in a couple of weeks. I had just a ton of I just knew exactly where the story was going for the most part, and I really had like a direct path. But that's not every day, and that's not every single week that you're writing. And you do have plenty of writing slumps where you don't feel inspired, your characters aren't talking to you, and I think it's important just to maintain that consistency and maintain the habit so you're not relying on it. And also, that being said, there are days where I sit down, I don't feel inspired, but I've created a habit. So I'm like, well, I just got to sit down and look at it, and I'll crank out a great scene that I had not thought I was going to write. And so I'm like, well, I'm glad I did sit down for this.
Yeah, sometimes like your best days come out of not wanting to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
I love that. So, aside from all the other advice you've already given, do you have any specific advice for aspiring authors?
Oh, yeah. Stay off social media. Stay off social media.
That's great advice.
I didn't start my author account until my first book was with my beta readers, basically done. And I did some heavy edits and stuff, but I mean, it was with them. It was out of my hands at that point. And I'm so glad that that was the case, because it's very easy to get bogged down in comparison. It's so easy to get bogged down in seeing, oh my gosh, this author is however old and has already put out however many books. Well, you just had Jam Wallace on your podcast not too long ago. I had the pleasure of meeting her in person. She is lovely. I mean, she's a year younger than me. She's written 8 books. I know, it's incredible. Nuts. It's absolutely incredible. She's lovely. I mean, like, I wish her nothing but the best. But that being said, it's so easy to compare yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel very strongly that if I had started my author account and if I had been bogged down in that, I never would have finished my first book and put it out. I think it would have tanked my self-esteem, and I think it would have totally drained my energy, my creative energy.
Yeah, I think it's a great place to go. And I feel, I mean, it's not the same for us, but like, I feel like as people who are on Bookstagram, it's really easy to get, like you said, to get in that mindset of like comparing yourself to other people and being like, oh, they're so creative and they have like great energy and they're wonderful. And like, I'm so happy for their account to grow and all the things they get and stuff like that. So I think for authors, it is a great place to go on and market and meet new readers.
Absolutely.
But like, do not doom scroll and never, never get lost in that hole. Yeah.
No, and for God's sakes, don't read your reviews. They're Absolutely. Not your business. What yeah. other people think of your book is not your business.
Correct.
It is not. And no, I think that's, but truthfully, that's the biggest part. And that's something I have to remind myself even now is to not get sucked into Bookstagram too much. And don't get me wrong, I am very grateful because nobody would know about my book without Instagram, without the Bookstagram community. But that being said, again, I'm very susceptible to comparison, and I just know that about myself. So I stay far away from social media. I'm pretty MIA with social media. Like I'll hop on to respond to DMs or comments, but I do not scroll because I just know it's going to tank my creative spark and it's going to tank my self-esteem, and it's all bad news.
Yeah, totally fair. It's fun to interact with like your followers, but like you not, don't go past that.
Yeah.
Never end up on the FYP. Never. Totally valid. So do you have any like specific writing rituals that get you kind of through the day or anything that you do like when you're not feeling inspired?
Well, I always drink coffee. I have recently switched to decaf in the late mornings. I still have my 1 cup of caffeinated coffee in the morning, but it turns out you do sleep better if you don't drink 5 cups of coffee. Who knew?
Wow.
So strictly decaf if it's past 10 a.m. But I do love coffee. That's like just a ritual and a habit for me. So you better believe I've got my French press of decaf coffee next to me. And I write in my bed, actually. I have my fluffy pillows behind me. I write in my bed. My ritual honestly kind of was set by my son because I knew that I had 2 to 3 hours carved out at nap time in the afternoon. And then I had, you know, another 2 hours after he's in bed in the evenings. So that's kind of where my ritual started, and it still continues now.
I love that. That sounds so cozy. Like I would be very inspired to write if I was like sitting in bed.
It is
sometimes my best days are like, you know, hanging out in bed and working.
Amen. Yeah. I have the dog on the bed with me, the cat, like everyone's just napping and the house is quiet and I just write. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a vibe. I love that. So you mentioned that your next book is coming out hopefully at the end of this year, but what's kind of next for you and the schedule of events and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So I don't want to hold myself to too strict of a schedule because I want to make sure that just like with book one, I'm putting out something I'm really, really proud of. And I'm putting out something that I think the readers are going to love, but I am really hoping to get book two out by the end of this year.
Nice.
Past that, I truthfully don't know. I know that there will be a book three. I know that book three is going to explore more of the side characters. So we're going to get split points of view and we're going to be able to get into the heads of some of the side characters. But yeah, that's next.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I'm excited for you. I love that.
Thank you.
It's kind of fun that you don't have like a strict timeline because I feel like you said, then it kind of gives you that opportunity to be like, no, I want to go through another round of edits or like, I want to give my beta readers time and things like that. And I feel like it takes a lot of the pressure off.
Oh, I'm way too much of a perfectionist, I think, to put too much of a deadline on myself. At some point, I mean, when it gets past my first round of beta readers, I will put a deadline on it and I will start figuring out my schedule of when I'm going to get my pre-orders up, when we're going to do the cover release, all of those things, because those things do have to happen on a schedule. But prior to the first round of beta readers, I don't put myself on a timeline. I just Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm putting out something that doesn't feel rushed, something that I'm, like I said, I'm very proud of. So.
No, I love that. So, do you have any signing scheduled? Are you attending any events this year?
Oh, yes. So I will be on an author panel at Camp Lejeune on May 23rd at 6 p.m. So you do need base access to go to that one, but it's free to show up. You just have to register ahead of time because we have limited spots available. But
Oh my
I'll be
gosh.
on a panel with J.M. Wallace, so another fantasy author, and then a handful of other authors as well. We kind of have a mix of genres, so there's a little bit for everybody.
That's awesome. That'll be so fun. I love it. Are you attending any events this year as like a reader?
No, I'm not. I would love to. I'm not, because we're actually getting ready to do another move. So life in the military.
Not for you. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be heading up to Virginia pretty soon here. So we've got a big shuffle, big transition. We're trying to figure out what life is going to look like after we make that move. So I have nothing else scheduled. I have no
Totally
other plans
valid.
at this point. Yeah, I'm going to be just flying by the seat of my pants.
Yeah, as you should in the middle of a move. Totally fair. Okay, so my last question for you is, where can everybody find you on the bookish interwebs?
Oh yes. Okay. So on Instagram, I am at author Kate Cunningham, and I am authorkatecunningham.com. If you want to find my website, it has links to my Instagram and my website. Both have links where you can find the book. You can buy signed copies on my Etsy shop. I'm not on TikTok. Not really on Facebook. You will not find me there. So I keep it pretty limited.
I love that. Listen, we got to keep it simple, you know?
Yes.
It's easier that way. Well, that is
Amen.
kind of all the questions I have. Is there anything else you wanted to share? Any other questions you have?
No, I just so appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I had a great time reading it. I was so ready to get back into my fantasy era, and I was like, this is exactly what I needed. So I'm really excited, and I hope people check it out and feel the same.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, bye. Thank you guys for tuning into this week's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you aren't following us, go ahead and follow us on TikTok and Instagram at the Bookish Banter Podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. And thank you guys again for all of your support. Have a great day.